I am so excited about today because not only is it the Lord's Day, but it's also the day we begin our small groups with a different emphasis. I think you're all going to enjoy. For those of you that are not a part of a small group, we really want to encourage you to be involved in this. And if you're not a part of a group, come talk to us afterwards. We'll get you plugged in today. You don't want to miss it today. It's going to be really good. It's a powerful movie, powerful series. We're going to begin on our commitment to Jesus. And as you're going to see, the messages on Sunday and then the small groups on Sunday will connect together. So if you just hear one side of it, you're going to miss the other part, which is just as important. So please pray about, if you're not a part of a group, to be part of a group. Now, I got a question for our young people. What does it mean to say DTR? What's the DTR talk? Oh my, you guys don't know this. Wow, I'm 46 and I guess I do know something about what's going on. It means define the relationship. I like this picture here. It means to say, where are we in this relationship now? Between a boyfriend and a girlfriend. I remember having the DTR talk in sixth grade. I liked this girl next door that lived to me, and ironically, her name was Teresa Smith. I have a thing, I guess, for Teresa's. I was crazy about this girl, and she was real nice, and we had a good friendship going, and I thought, I'm going to step up the commitment here. So I decided, I saw her one day walking along, and I said, will you go with me? She said, yes. And I said, yes. Okay, it's all over. I don't have to do anything else. And so I kind of just hung out for the next month. I didn't know what going with somebody meant. But I wondered what was going on when she started hanging out around with another guy. I thought, hey, what's going on here? We've never had the DTR talk, have we? Over the next several weeks, we're going to have a DTR talk about our relationship with Jesus. Where are you right now with Jesus? Are you a fan or are you a follower? Well, we're all followers, Chris. I mean, everyone's a follower here. Wait a minute. Don't answer the question too quickly. Because think about it. The word fan, we would say, is an enthusiastic admirer. You know, somebody that we have fans, for example, of movie stars, of celebrities. We have fans that know everything about these celebrities, all thing about the movie, and they can quote the facts, and they can quote the birth dates and all that stuff. They know all about the person, but they don't know the person. Then you got fans of rock stars, right? You got fans of bands. They have the CDs, they have the T-shirts, and I remember when I was 10 years old, Kiss were the big thing. Anybody here like Kiss back in 1975? Okay, never mind. I was 10, and I had the belt buckle, Kiss belt buckle. I had all these posters in my room. I even got to go see them in concert. I lost my hearing for 2 days. But I was a fan. You know, we're fans of celebrities, of rock stars, and we're also fans of sports, aren't we? You know, we have, how many Titans fans we have here today? Come on, are you ashamed? How many Titans fans? All right, how many Vols fans we have here today? Oh my goodness. Do y'all like college football better than pro football? Y'all do, don't you? Now, I'm still a Redskins fan. I want you to notice how we covered over those two. Yeah, come on, babe. We won't go any farther than there. But we're crazy about sports, aren't we? We watch the games. We have the jerseys. We know all the players. We know we can quote all the stats. Do we ever get in the game? No. But we cheer for them, don't we? You know, we may know the facts about all the players, but we really don't know the players, do we? My concern, my concern is the church today has a potential to become a stadium of fans rather than followers of Jesus. You know, Jesus never cared about having fans. You know, if we define a fan as an enthusiastic admirer, he didn't want those. In fact, he says on the day of judgment, standing before him will be many people who called him Lord, but they never obeyed. They never followed him in their lives. They were fans. And he says, I don't know who you are. See, I think a lot of us are fans because we think, you know, church is all about me. You know, it's about what I like, you know. And I, whether we realize it or not, we kind of rate the worship service sometimes, don't we? We catch ourselves, you know, saying, well, those songs are pretty good. I didn't like the songs today. Did you like the song? I didn't like Chris's message today. And that guy prayed too long during the Lord's prayer, during the Lord's Supper. Yeah. And we criticize, we judge. And whether we realize it or not, you know, we leave here thinking as fans, it was all done for us. And I got news for you today. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It is about worshiping Him. It's about honoring and worshiping our Creator and Lord. Wait a minute, Chris. Wait a minute. I am a follower. There's no doubt in my mind I'm a follower of Jesus. What makes you so sure? You know, because often it's really hard for us to be objective about ourselves. What kind of measurements do we normally use to define our relationship with Christ? Well, first thing we do is we spiritually compare ourselves with other people. You know, and one thing I want you to think about today, we don't need to judge who is a follower and who's a fan, okay? We don't need to determine that. That's not our task. We need to worry about ourselves. And I think we need to worry about following Jesus and not worrying about comparing ourselves to others. Amen? The second thing we often do to define our relationship and our faith, we get out our religious ruler. Well, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't listen to bad music, I don't watch R-rated films, and you know the list goes on and on. And I'm not so bad as those drug addicts over there. And does that sound familiar? Jesus used a Pharisee and a tax collector as his examples. And you remember who went home right with God? Tax collector. Get rid of the religious ruler. Okay? It doesn't mean anything. We can say the amen. We can come here every week and shout glory and whatever you want to call it. And we can still live like the devil all week. Throw away the religious ruler. Another thing we often do is we think we really know God's Word. We measure our spirituality. Well, I really know the Bible. In Churches of Christ, you know, we're known as a Bible-focused fellowship. But you know, you can have a PhD in the Bible and still not know God. There's a big difference in knowing a bunch of facts about someone and really knowing the person. And see, God wants to bring us to the point that we are knowing Him, and we know Him through experiencing Him in our lives, obeying, following Him, doing the difficult things, through trials, through struggles. Those are the kind of things that help us know God. You know, not by memorizing a bunch of facts about something. That doesn't mean you know anything or know anybody. You can know all about the facts about the quarterback of the Titans, if you've never met him, you really don't know him. I love what Jesus says in John 5:39. You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you possess eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me. I think the biggest threat to the church today are fans that call themselves followers but have no intention of ever being a follower of Jesus. Fans want the fringe benefits. They want heaven. They want forgiveness. But they do not want sacrifice. Do not ask me, Jesus, to do anything with my life. Do not ask me to get close to you or to commit my life to you. Are we in love with Jesus? Are we in love with His stuff? Why are we here? So many of us want the fringe benefits, but we don't want the commitment. We take Jesus as the Savior, but refuse Him as Lord. Imagine if you had a child, and your child comes to you and says, you know, I really don't love you, but I still want my allowance. How would you feel as a parent? You'd be extremely offended. How dare we call ourselves followers of Jesus when we are not willing to commit our lives to Him and call Him Lord? It's the same idea. How did Jesus define a relationship? Define the relationship. He says in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Those are some powerful words. Those are words you cannot skim over. And then the next couple weeks, we're really going to get to know these words very closely. But I want to just introduce you to this thought today. Jesus is not interested in half-hearted commitment on our part. He wants loyalty. He wants surrender. And on the whole, we don't do very well with absolute commitment, do we? We prefer selective commitment. You know, let me decide, Jesus, how I want to follow you. But, you know, just let me pick out what I want to follow, obey, and what I don't want to obey. That's the idea of selective commitment. You know, I'm going to follow Jesus, but, you know, just let me pick and choose the areas which I want to follow him in. For example, we say, well, I'll follow Jesus, but don't ask me to forgive somebody. You know, I'm going to be bitter about that person. I don't want to forgive that person. They don't deserve it. Or I'll follow Jesus, but don't ask me to talk about him to other people. I'm not going to do that. That's for religious fanatics. I'll follow Jesus, but, you know, don't ask me to sacrificially give my money. It's my money. I'll do with it what I want to, thank you. I'll follow Jesus, but don't ask me to abstain from sexual desires. I can do what I want to in this area. I have sexual desires. You know, everyone else is doing it. Everyone's looking at the porn. Everyone's having sex before marriage. I'm going to do it too. So this customized Christianity says, I'll follow Jesus, but only in the areas I'm comfortable with. You know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not all in yet. I'm not all in yet. You're not a follower. You're a fan. If you believe that. Selective commitment is not an option with Jesus. Jesus didn't give us that possibility. When you decide to become a follower of Jesus, you go all in. This is going to be mine now. I'm going to follow Him. He is my Lord. Whatever He wants to do with my life, He can do it. I will obey Him as best I can because of what He's done for me. There was a man who had a DTR moment. John chapter 3. Open your Bibles to John chapter 3. I like to refer to him as Nick at Night. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Why did Nicodemus come to Jesus at night? You know, we can speculate all we want, but I don't think people wanted people to see him. You know, maybe he's thinking, I can be a fan. I can have this little relationship with Jesus on the side, you know, without making any significant changes in my life. So he approached him as a fan. You know, I think you're great. And notice what Jesus says in verse 3. I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again, to be born again spiritually on the inside. We're born again, born once physically, we've got to be born again spiritually to go to heaven. Jesus is cutting to the chase here. There is no way that you can follow Jesus without Him interfering with your life. Impossible. And that's what he's doing here with Nicodemus. Following Jesus is going to cost us something. It's going to cost everything we have. Has following Jesus cost you anything? You know, most of us don't mind, you know, Jesus making some changes in our lives, you know, a couple changes here and there, but you know, we don't need to be a fanatic. You know, the Bible says everything in moderation. 1910 to 1920, the Mexicans had a horrible war. And in 1920, they, for a period of about 20 years, they began killing. There was a fanatic dictator controlling them, and he wanted all of the religious Catholic priests killed in the country. And I find that picture very intriguing. Here the man is praying for them, and they're going to kill him. Has Jesus following him cost you anything in your life? We have to ask ourselves that. Does Jesus want to change our lives? No, he wants to turn it upside down. He wants to turn your life completely upside down. Fans don't mind a touch-up, but Jesus wants a complete renovation. Fans, you know, come thinking tune-up. Jesus is thinking overhaul. Fans come thinking a little makeup. Jesus said, nope, complete makeover. Jesus wants to interfere with our lives. We need a lot of remodeling, amen? We are all struggling, and we need somebody to say, hey, you need to go this way. And God, as our Creator, knows what's best for us. Look in John chapter 3, beginning in verses 4 and 5. Look at Nicodemus' response. What do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What was Jesus telling Nicodemus? You got to start over. Throw away your PhD, Nicodemus. You got to go back to kindergarten. That's basically what he's saying. You don't know anything. You need to become like a child again. And Nicodemus didn't come to him asking this. Nicodemus came to him saying, well, I think you're just a great guy. I'm a real fan, and I believe. And Jesus said, you got to start over. You got to be born again, Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a fan. He believed. But there's a big difference between believing in Jesus and following Jesus. They're not the same thing. Believing in Jesus and following Jesus are one and the same. Why do we say that? Well, I performed a wedding back in the 1990s. And this is not the couple, by the way. In the we had a beautiful ceremony for this couple. I'll never forget it. And they had a beautiful exchange of vows, and it was just a wonderful day. And I remember the guy, he just kind of said all these really nice words about his bride, and it was just beautiful, and then they went on their honeymoon. And what is that rascal doing on the honeymoon? He's calling his ex-girlfriend. Yeah, I found out about that. And I asked him, what on earth were you thinking? Your vows were worthless, I said. I told him, well, I said, it doesn't work that way. If you marry someone, you're committing to that person for life. Those were empty vows. And yes, eventually they divorced because obviously he had a problem with commitment. Believing in Jesus ain't real until there is action. We know that. It's interesting. In the Gospels, Jesus said, believe in me 5 times, but he says, follow me 20 times. So you can see how these two are connected. You can't have one without the other. And yet we have churches all over the world. We have congregations full of fans instead of followers. People who have taken Jesus as their Savior instead of taking Him as their Lord. And we are in love with God's stuff. We want heaven. We want forgiveness. But we don't want to commit our lives to Him. We want to continue talking to the girlfriend. We want to continue living the way we want to live. We don't want repentance. We want to live our way. Well, it's time to define the relationship in our lives. You know, when it comes to our children, we want what is best for our children. We want a good people for them to marry. How many parents here today want your children to marry a no-good drug addict, child-abusing alcoholic? Come on. Why aren't you raising your hands? We want what's best for them, right? When you get married, do you tell, would it be great if the woman or man that you're marrying, would it be great for them to say, well, gee, you know, I'm really happy to get married to you, I'm committed to you, but I'd still like to see this other person on the side. Would anybody here agree to that? Would anybody say, yeah, I'll be glad to do that? Yet when it comes to Jesus, we don't give Jesus our best. We give him our leftovers. We give him, you know, the table scraps. We want to continue living like we want to live. And I'm here to tell you with all the love in my heart today, if we take Jesus as our Savior, yet refuse him as our Lord, we are fans. We are not followers. And it's time to define the relationship. Is it possible to change? Yes. Yes, it is. You know, Nicodemus is real interesting in how he progresses from this point in John 7. He has a confrontation with the Sanhedrin that he's a part of, and he actually stands up for Jesus in that Sanhedrin. Later we see in John 19 how he is now burying Jesus with Joseph of Arimathea. He become a follower. It's interesting how that one night changed his life forever. Tradition says he became a leader in the church, and he was also martyred for his faith. Listen, family, if Nicodemus can change from a fan to a follower, we can too. And I know what some of you are going to interpret this message today as. And this is the wrong interpretation, okay? You're going to say, well, either I'm totally committed or I'm totally lost. Wrong. Wrong. That's not the point. What I'm trying to get you to think about today is to define where you are with Jesus right now. Where are you with in the relationship with him? Where does it need to go? You know, we love Christ. We follow Jesus out of love, not out of legalism. He saves us 100% by his grace, by the cross. We are going to heaven because of the cross. And we stand before him one day, knees bowed, because we love him and because of what he's done for us. And you obey and you love God, not to try to make him love you more, but because of already what he's done in your life. And when you start realizing what the cross means, you're going to say, man, he gave his life for me, I'm going to give my life to him in return. As imperfect and as sinful as we are, Jesus wants to use every person in this room. You're unique, you're special, you're the only you. And God's given you gifts and abilities and special things to use for the kingdom of God. And you have that opportunity. The least we can do is give our lives. You know, God is patient with us. You know, you heard me about a month ago. I rededicated my life to Jesus about a month ago because I had been treating God like an employer instead of a daddy. Very easy for ministers and missionaries to do. And I've been struggling in my walk with God. I didn't got it all together. Yeah, I'm a fan at times. I'm struggling too. But the solution is not to try harder. You know, some people are going to sit here and say, well, I just need to read my Bible more, and I need to pray more, and I need to... And you start getting your little checklist out, right? That's not what I'm wanting you to do, necessarily. Yeah, reading the Bible and prayer are important, and you need to do those things, but not in a legalistic way. The solution is to allow God to change our hearts, because it's not natural for us to love. It is not natural for us to love God. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to love Him more. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. God's waiting for you to take that step. And when you take that step, He takes one towards you. But He wants to see what's in your heart. I think we need to be honest with God. Say, Lord, I'm struggling, you know? You're not the most important thing in my life. I've been struggling. I have all these idols I'm dealing with. And yeah, I've been really lukewarm lately. And, you know, I've really felt empty. And I don't feel close to you anymore. And I really want that back. And you know what? God is going to answer that prayer when we are honest before Him. But it takes time. And it takes, you know, it takes commitment on our part. I've often told people, I think some of the best things to do is just to pencil God into my day, the day that He's blessed me with. Yeah, some of us need to do that. We need to keep on seeking when we fail, when we fall, and understand, you know, a wonderful thing happens, family, when you start seeking God more and more in your life. You start doing it more, instead of out of guilt, you do it out of love. And you really want to spend time with the Lord. You really want to spend time with Him. And you want to be committed to Him. Today, for the next 6 weeks, in the small groups, we're going to learn about Eric Nelson, a guy who is living as a fan of Jesus. He goes to church, but his lifestyle is completely different from what he is experiencing in church. And I want to challenge you to watch this and listen, because it's powerful and it speaks to where we are in our lives today. So as we begin this search today, we got to ask ourselves, am I a fan or am I a follower? Let's stand for prayer. And you can repeat after me. This is me speaking, okay? I'm talking to God about me. So if you want to talk to God about yourself and where you are with God, you can repeat after me. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for being just a fan. I want to be a follower. I have allowed many things to get in the way of our relationship, Lord. And I'm sorry. Change my heart, Lord. I want to love You more than anything else on this earth. I want to enjoy spending time with You each day. I desperately need You. I am nothing without You. I need Your Holy Spirit to help me love You with all my heart. I ask You to fill me even more this day with Your Spirit. More of You in my life and less of me. In Jesus' name. And the whole church said, today, you know, as we think about our relationship with Jesus, maybe some of you have not begun your relationship with Jesus. And it's a wonderful day. 21 years ago, I began my walk with Jesus. And it's a wonderful moment in your life when you can respond to the invitation that He gives to all people, offering forgiveness, offering heaven, offering peace to all those who trust in Him. The Bible simply says, if we believe with all our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if we say, yes, in my heart, I know I've sinned against God, and I'm ready to change my ways and go God's way. We say, yes, Lord, I can't save myself. I'm ready to put my trust in the finished work of the cross. Baptism is where we are born again of the water and the Spirit, and where we begin that relationship with Jesus. Today, if you're ready to do that, we can baptize you today. What a great day that would be. Maybe, too, you have been baptized, but you're wanting the prayers of this congregation. And we want you to know that our elders will pray for you. Whatever your need is, won't you come as Tommy begins singing.
my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm grateful for the things you've done, my loving Savior, oh precious Jesus. My heart is glad that you've called me your own. There's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love. In your arms of love, holding me still, holding me near, in your arms of love. I sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm grateful for the things you've done, my loving Savior, oh precious Jesus. My heart is glad that you call me your own, and there's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love. In your arms of love, holding me still, holding me near, in your arms of love. In your arms of love, holding me still, holding me near, holding me still, holding me near, holding me still, holding me near, in your arms of love.
Thank you, Chris, for that lesson. May our hearts all follow Jesus. And just want to read just a short blessing from God's Word. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and in petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Will you please pray with me? Our dear Heavenly